So, most important characteristic when you're looking at when you're starting to do vocals, you mentioned bleed and rejection characteristics.
For live, yeah.
So polar pattern is probably huge.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And part of that has to do with the way the artist likes to work the mic. You know, a really narrow pattern may not work so well for somebody who likes to do, like Michael was saying, and likes to use their technique. It may not work so well.
Because they just disappear?
Right. Okay. Right. Or they find that they have to stay right on it, and they don't like that.
Okay.
You know, or somebody that doesn't like there's some artist, Kenny Rogers is one, who likes to hold his mic 4 or 5 inches away.
KK-105, yep.
And it sounds great, it sounds even, but it's a different sort of thing than somebody.
So he holds it like down?
Yeah, Yeah, he holds it way down. It looks great on TV. That's probably part of why he does
it's
it.
Like, don't get it in front of your face. I just saw the video of him with Dolly, and he's got a 441.
Yeah,
you hold all the way down here.
Yeah,
and it's like
you don't want to mess up the face.
Not,
he spent
I'm
a lot of money on
that
the face. Sorry, did my inside voice get out?
Yeah, you did say that.
Take
but
two.
But he's always been that way. He's always been that way. He's always held it low, and I think that's because he came up through television.
You get him a shotgun microphone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let him just point it up at his chin. What do you think, Jeff? Is there an is there a most important?
I'm still lost in that.
Not about Kenny.
Is there important characteristic?
What do you consider the most important characteristic? Like when you're when somebody steps up to sing?
Well, I mean, in capturing it for a recording, I mean, obviously what we've all talked about so far, in addition to that, it's within the painting where that sets. And that's real important. First, you got to get the artist communicating. But after that, you got to make sure that communication happens within the musical spectrum that they have and the style of music that they do. Certain things sit different places. I think that's real important that you get the emotion and everything about where that vocal's sitting within the track, and that's going to vary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to mean that mic sounds better than that. It's that one reacts better with the music than that one.
I want to continue that discussion, but do you ever find, or have you ever found, that you pick the microphone for that artist and that song, and it sounds killer, and then you go to the next song, which is in a different key and a different register, and you go, This mic's not going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. That can happen.
Yeah, I've had that happen before, where you spend all this time picking the microphone for that song, and then you get to the next song, and it's like, wow.
I find that can happen, but I think sometimes it would have to be a massive difference between the actual song. It would
well,
have to be
that's what I'm talking
between
about.
Between a ballad and a big rock song or something.
Depends on their range.
Right.
How hard they're singing.
How they approach it.
Right.
You know? Because the voice itself, well, yeah, it will change only from a lower singing voice to a louder singing voice, but the voice itself does not change that much. You know, the voice is that voice, but it will change with the effort they put into it. So that would be the difference to go, well, that sound doesn't work on that mic. And mostly it's, you know, you got one ballad out of 10 songs on the record. It's the ballad that needs different treatment.
Yeah. I had an artist once where we found the preamp that sounded wonderful when she was in her upper register. And then but when we got to the verses and she was down real low, because in the upper register, it just had this wonderful meat and a lot of husk. But when we got to the beginnings of the song in the low verses, it was like,
it was just mud.
You just couldn't understand her at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, so we swapped the preamp. So I used one preamp for the verses and a different preamp for the choruses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this solved the problem. Same microphone. Other characteristics of microphones as far as what's important. What do you think, Neil? Do you have an opinion on that?
Sure. I was trying to engage the artist in what they're hearing, but, you know, their comfort factor, if it's a microphone that the artist has worked with for a long time and they're comfortable with it, sometimes it's not really fruitful to go through a mic shootout. There's, you know, very well known, Allison sings on a C800G. It's a very bright microphone. There's a lot of detail in it. A lot of detail. And you always have to manually DS. Even if I'm handing off a vocal for somebody else to mix to a degree, I do it in degrees. But there's so much sibilance, and she's so used to hearing that detail that you just have to deal with what the microphone is giving you. And a lot of what the match between a vocalist and a microphone, for me, the important register is the middle. how does the voice respond in the mid-range? Is it harsh? Is it soft? Is it detailed? Is it projecting? Is it focused? Whatever. Top and bottom, you can tend to deal with a little bit more. You know, if it needs body, you know, I do a lot of automated EQing and mixing. Mm-hmm. If there's, you know, you're not always going to get the same frequency response out of different registers that a vocalist is singing in. So the engineering part comes into play. You know, here it is. This is the voice. This is the mic. Make it work. So for that particular microphone, it's fantastic on her voice, and there's a lot of detail work for manually de-essing. I choose manually over automated de-essing or plug-in de-essing. And I was gonna bring up one other point. You talk about comfort factor and making a vocalist feel comfortable, and so that they can be emotionally connected to the material and give you a compelling performance. I've found especially with younger artists or less experienced artists, once we have a vocal sound in the studio, I offer for them to come into the control room with me, and we put headphones on and we sing together. Not that I actually sing, but we're in the same space together, and they actually feel like they're performing for somebody, and then we're connected. The communication is good, the vibe is good, you know, and that works. That really works well. You can't, as an engineer, hear what's going on through a pair of Fostex T20s as well as you can your monitors. So you're challenged in that way, but again, there's the engineering aspect, make it work. That's been really helpful to do.
And, that's interesting.
And another artist who, you know, after trying to capture a performance on one song, I said, you know what, nothing beats the vibe I got in my RV. He lives in his RV. And he says, I want to record the song in my RV. I said, all right, let's take a preamp and a compressor and a mic and set you up in your RV. He says, yeah, I want to do it. Oh, time of day, too. When, you know, performing vocalists pretty much like to sing at set time. They don't like to sing at 10 o'clock in the morning. Some do, maybe. But, you know, this is maybe an 8 or 9 o'clock. Let's sing at night. What's the vibe of the song? You know, this is a mysterious thing. You know, I don't want to sing it in daylight. Okay, fine. I'm with you there. But in this particular instance, we set him up in his RV. I was a little bit worried because it wasn't a great neighborhood.
Take your mic home at night.
But I got him a sound. I said, you know, here's the basics of what you're doing, and you're good to go. It wasn't the best. We didn't have great converters. If I had an external converter to give him, I should have given him that. But, you know, he got his vocal performance, which is the most important thing to me. Is it the best vocal sound on the record? No. But did he get something that he loved? Yeah. And that's the most important thing for him and for me. So
so you just set him up, like, behind you? I mean, you're not facing him while
he's singing. In the control
room? Yeah.
I'm usually sitting in the chair at the console, maybe turned sideways. But you know, I just kind of put my head down and vibe, unless I've got a ride gain on the mic preamp. And yeah, I just close my. The other thing is, I can't judge a good vocal when I'm looking at a screen. The only visual cue I can get off of, I can give myself, is a lyric sheet. If I'm looking at anything else, it's influencing adversely what I'm hearing. And you know, I might be somewhat neurotic in this sense if I'm looking at level and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't. That's not good gain on that.
Engineer,
you know, that's
right?
That's not a good take. You know, you can't judge things by what you're seeing on screen or anything else. I mean, if I can follow along on the lyric sheet, that's pertinent to me. But the screen and the same in comping. I can never look at a screen when I'm comping. It gives you the wrong information.
Interesting.
For me.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I sat side by side with an artist, and we would comp vocals together, and they would pick, you know, we would just listen to takes, and I said, all right, let's see how we end up. You know, we're all making our picks on our sheets and everything, and we started out kind of far apart, and it's like, okay, finally, I just asked, I said, what are you listening to when you're picking these takes? I was like, how are you listening? And I needed to learn how they were listening, and they were listening from someplace other than, you know, where I was listening. It wasn't pitch, it wasn't any of that. It was viscerally, it was from here, the feeling, the interpretation. And so I got the screen out of the way, and I sat in front of the console, and I just hit play, and then I'd go over, you know, change playlists or whatever it was, And sitting and facing the speakers and actually listening in the stereo field and absorbing the music and the song and the sound and the vocal is how I could pick.
Interesting.
So I think that's really important for you know, DAW users when you're working. The visual cues can be misleading.
You're talking about comping. I was working with an artist just a couple of weeks ago, and it was the same kind of thing. I was going, that is a great take, and they're going, nah. I was going, I don't get it. And it turns out they were listening for timing, and it was just like
pocket.
Yeah, he was listening for pocket, and it was like, man, that's got all kinds of emotion. He's got, nah, it's no good. Can't use it. I was like, okay. And we did. We had to have that little meeting of like, okay, you got to tell me what you're hearing, because that, to me, that's a home run line. And it's like, nah, can't use it. I was like,
well, there's so many ways to be listening too. You can listen for pitch. You can listen for pocket. You know, placement, phrasing, and it really is you putting yourself in an empathetic position to the vocalist and understanding what it is that they want out of their performance. It's different if it's somebody that you've worked with and you know them and they're comfortable, or if it's somebody new and you've got a learning curve there. But you know, somebody might say, I don't know, I was a little ahead of the beat, or I want to wait for that. I want to make you wait for that. And I'm thinking, oh, it's out of time. And they're thinking, no, I'm making you wait for that. There's an emotion in that. Mm-hmm. So it's just a learning process.
And the artist sometimes knows best themselves. Yeah. You know, you might think, oh, that was a pretty good take. And they come in and go, no, I didn't like that one. It didn't feel right. And I think that's a very important comment. If they don't feel right about their own thing that they just did, probably nobody else will in the end. You know, but so a feeling from them, and it's not just what they're going for, it's actually the performance. And they go, yeah, I feel good about this. Then that's a big point for me to go, okay, that might be the take.
Plus, it helps that you might think they'll feel good about it tomorrow, too.
Right.
It's like they have an
right.
You know,
right.
It's like you don't want to talk somebody into it, and they come back tomorrow. It's like, no, I still don't like it, you know.